Hello, everybody. Today we have our very, very favorite pickleball couple, right? And as you remember last time, which seems like so long ago, but it was only last month, I think, that we met, they were going to Greece, and that's exciting on its own. We were going to chat with them in Greece, but obviously they just had so much fun, there was no time. So without further ado, let's just find out what happened. And let's go back. It's Christo and Nico Phronimos. And look how you guys look. It was obviously an amazing trip. How are you guys? Thank you. How are you?
It was really amazing. Go ahead, Christy, why don't you say how?
He'll get out here. Man, whenever I'm like not ready to talk, then he gives it to me. it was actually a wonderful trip. What this trip was, we had 32 people, including ourselves, that came with us to Greece, and we went to Athens, Santorini, and Crete, and we played pickleball in all of those locations. And it, again, just it never gets old. This is only our second trip, but each time it's just getting better and better. And I think pickleball is, people are starting to hear about it. And so it's not as hard of a sell, and it's not a hard sell when you have 30 people with you and you're like, they're all on vacation here to play pickleball.
Yeah.
So, and then we're all over 50.
Yeah.
But we did have one person under, we had a 28-year-old and a 27-year-old, his girlfriend. We had Kyle Yates and his girlfriend, Jenna Gorman, who was
to give people a reference because they won't understand, he's the Tony Hawk. What Tony Hawk was
skateboarding.
Yeah. Skateboarding. That's what Kyle Yates is to pickleball, because for 13 years ago, he dropped out of college to pursue a pickleball career.
Yeah, before.
When there was no pickleball, there wasn't anything to do. I mean, I exaggerate 13 years ago. It's more like 9 or 8 years ago he got out of college, but he has a story. It's a magnificent story. He turned out to come with on their trip.
Yeah.
I emailed them a long time ago when I first had the notion to do pickleball in Greece, and it was more for how do I get to the career that we want, because we wanted to be in pickleball, and yeah. the trips came up because everything from God comes from an idea, and the trips came up from the idea to, so we could make a living off of them and pursue our pickleball dream without being a nuisance to anybody else. And if it was meant to be, surely God would make it happen by giving us a job to make money, right? So here's this job. You have to understand, at the time that this came up, Christy and I were homeless and unemployed because we were trying to find our dream. And people were telling us, well, COVID's over, and now your dream has to end. Go get a job, a real job. And we were prepared to live on our car, and a lot of things happened in 3 days that we were actually homeless, and we were living in a motel. This 3 days that we had the most faith I've ever had. We were talking about it today with Christy, because I told her, I remember having this powerful faith that everything was going to be okay because I believed in God. And we were heavily into church. We just started. And we knew that was the beginning. We knew we had to have faith. And why I say this is because when it looks down, when everything looks down and you know you're doing the right thing, because I have friends out there on Facebook that say, I'm doing the right thing and things are just going down and I'm about to explode. Dude, I tell them, just keep it together, because when you control that, when you do, it's coming. The greatness is coming. Something bigger than you could possibly imagine is coming. And that's what happened then, and this is what's happening now. Because at that time, we had faith in God, and we got the house, we got this job, and we actually got jobs as hosts at a restaurant. Because all we wanted to do is be together. And the manager, the owner of the restaurant, owned 7 restaurants, and he was quite impressed with my resume, with my skills in the restaurant, because I owned a restaurant in my life. My parents owned restaurants for a long time. My brother owned a restaurant, still does, for for many years. So I've worked in the restaurant business my whole life. So when I was in the restaurant, just being a host, I was cleaning the floors and doing stuff. And he was quite impressed. He's like, I can make you a manager right away. And I'm like, no. We're doing this for a dream. And I had the faith.
That seems so long.
Christy
so.
And I had faith. We had faith that God was going to come through for us. We didn't know what. And then I thought it was through pickleball. I thought we would make us great through pickleball. And we started training even harder and practicing even harder, almost expecting like the miracle to happen overnight. And that's not how miracles happen, but a miracle was happening because I got hurt. That's crazy because but that was nuts because what would happen is this leads us to the whole trip to bring Cal Yates with. I at that time I was on the couch and I started finding purpose. Where were we going with this? And God said, and at the time I was like, let's do this pickleball trips online, right? Yes. So I with Scott Moore, we talked about it. And then I sent Kyle Yates an email. I remember sending him an email, not even an email, a Facebook Messenger text. Yeah. Saying,
well, because you can contact people.
Yeah.
We have an even crazier thing.
Crazier
we contacted
thing today.
The mayor of
the
Athens.
The mayor of Athens.
I did,
listen, today, the other day, my wife and I sent a message to the mayor of Athens. He responded. So what happened was Kyle responds 3 months later saying, hey, I'm interested. One text. I'm interested. Let's lock it in. And I said, it's locked. And then sure enough, he shows up. And why is that important? Because when we went there, great things happened. First and foremost, I started the Agape Pickleball Project. And that's a huge project. It's basically getting pickleball to all Greeks. It starts with anybody who will listen and will play. We happened to come across Andreas Kalaitis, what a great individual. He was Googling new sport in Athens and pickleball.
We went to dinner with them and we didn't know how they found us.
Yeah, he told
but
me.
But literally, that's what he did.
He was Googled. He Googled new sport.
So and pickleball.
So pickleball and I showed up.
On the search.
I love
one
it.
Thing led to the other. Sure enough, he is the head coach of the weightlifting team for the Special Olympics for Elas.
Yeah.
And that's not a small feat because in Greece, there's so much bureaucracy.
And they're in Berlin right now.
They're in Berlin. And his the great thing is that he brought his kids out to learn pickleball while we were there. And not only did we teach them how to play pickleball, but they actually just won gold medals and bronze medals in weightlifting. So
in those the Special Olympics going on right now in Berlin.
So it was really exciting and awesome. But so much has come of this from these miracles that have just been performed.
Go ahead. I just love this. I just want to go back because we always find that you also see memes on Facebook and whatever. And in life, if you look back, you usually just push through, and then give up just before. Something happens, right?
That's when it happens.
So I love what Nico was saying, like just push through, go through those dark moments.
Because it's you look back.
Because the light is there, and you just have to, okay, I can get through this. And having the two of you, having the support and the love of each other also is amazing because it just, you support each other and you help each other through those dark times. So, you know, when Christy has a bad day, Nico's there to like, I'll hold you, you know, I'll hold your head. Don't worry.
Sure. And the same when we're tired and down.
Nico, right? And also, I just want to say something else. Nico, sorry, just hold on. I cannot believe how amazingly you guys look compared. I mean, how you've grown together and you've grown so much since the very first episode we've had, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not so long ago.
No.
I just want to say that. And Christy, you're looking amazing and your confidence level is like out of this world. So I just have to say that too. It's like, wow. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Things are good. You know, it's just
it's God.
we're kind of just sitting back and letting God take the wheel. And seeing where he's going, because there's so many really wonderful things going on in our life right now. But
our whole thing on this is where we were at.
Yeah.
We have to go back to our roots to where we were at. We remember we remember. I can't look at her and not remember doing the amounts of drugs and cocaine I was doing in those nights, and I was despair and those horrible. And now look where we're at. Because we were following. And here's the deal. I know I have these lives, like I have like these visions where I didn't make it in another universe, you know, and like this one, people had to have their opinions, but I feel like it's my purpose in life to tell my testimony to everyone. And the number one show on TV was Ted Lasso, because people really want to watch something good and wholesome. Now, yes. Here's something for you fans out there, because this is important. The number 153, I keep stressing, is important. We talked about it last time. I am God, 153. I'm watching Ted Lasso, and on the last episode, the last scene, he's sitting in a chair in his stadium. And what number chair do you think he was sitting in? Go watch it. Go back and watch it.
Wow.
You guessed it. 153. And I'm watching it because God's like, watch this. You want to see something? He goes, Nico, get up and watch. Go get up off your bed and watch. Because I'm watching Ted. I don't watch any TV. Ted Lasso is the only show I watch. And it's over. Because it was a wholesome show. It's about letting it roll. Let God take over. That's what he's saying. He's basically saying that even though life is crappy, you got to make the best of it. Because in the end, it's all going to make sense. Because being in a relationship that you think is okay, but the other person is not happy, isn't a good relationship.
Yeah, of course.
No, it's not, because I see it consistently now, and I saw it a lot in my old church, where people were together because God's keeping them together, or pickleball's keeping them together, or because kids are keeping them together, or grandkids are keeping them together, or Chicago's keeping them together, and you got two people who are miserable with each other, so they eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they're miserable, and they don't fast. And in the Bible, if you really want to stick firm to beliefs about, because a lot of these people do, there are more rules about fasting than being gay. So people are out of control in this world right now, talking about who can dress as what and what is right in the Bible and let's stay to the Bible. Let's stay firm to the Bible is what I hear people saying as they're eating a double cheeseburger at McDonald's. And they're not working out in any way, shape, or form. And they're miserable with their spouses. And just because they don't cheat on each other, they feel like they're not cheating on each other. But when you're not open with your spouse, you're not having sexual relations with your spouse, because that's what you're supposed to do. It doesn't end. You don't ever go through a phase where we're just not going to have sex anymore forever. See you later. Close that part
up.
What's
the point?
That doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because there's still other women in the world. There's still other men in the world. And there is someone called Satan in the world, and he's going to tempt you. That's why he gives you Doritos and Fritos and peanuts and all that stuff. He brings it to you so you can be comfortable and watch TV and eat. And just watch TV and watch other people go after their dreams. And then watch those same people win Oscars and get on their hands and knees and worship a gold idol named Oscar and not God. So this is the world I'm living in, where God actually spoke to me and told me that I'm going to win the Olympic gold medal. And this kid, Kyle Yates, is going to help me. And why is he going to help me? Why? Why would a 28-year-old professional, Hall of Fame, child, kid, who wants to make a living, he's in love with his girlfriend, he's been with her for 4 years. They're at a precipice now in the road where they need to make a decision whether they should be married or whether he should go on his career. And he said, I love her. And I'm like, God put you here for me to help you. Because I do know things about two things. I know about love and forgiveness, and I know about clothing stores. And that kid has a clothing business. So I'm like, shit, I can help you. I was throwing stuff. I mean, why don't you make a 4th of July shirt that says America? He's like, oh, wow. But really what happened was, we're sitting there in the 8-hour rain delay that happened in Greece that never happens. And I tell them the entire story that I won't bore anybody with because it goes on and on. And I tell him the story, and he's listening to me. And I tell him that God told us we're going to win Olympic gold medal. And before he could laugh, because he told me, quite honestly, he trained the current number one player in the world, Ben Johns, and he trained the current number one female player in the world, and Lee Waters. He trained both. Just so let's put where he's talking to. He's like, he's being very nice. He says, maybe you just take it to Greece and someone from Greece wins a gold medal, because he's trying to say that it will never be you. You're old and you're terrible. And I looked at him and I said, you are right. That's a great deflection. But something happened while we're talking, and I was telling him my story, and I happened to mention I won't mention the guy's name, but he has the same exact name as the guy who buried me in Florida, who took my money, who told me he's going to teach me a lesson. This man who was in a dungeon, I'll just give you a precipice of what happened. We were in a dungeon that he owned. He called me to his lair, this man, and told me that he's going to destroy my life, ruin it, and he's going to teach me a lesson. And he took all my money that I owned, and he banned me from his premises. And his name is the same name as Kyle Yates's pseudonym. In other words, his fake name, like Clark Kent. Because you know Clark Kent has it. So it's like, Superman, what's your name? He goes, Clark Kent. And I'm like, Clark Kent is the guy who stole all my money and ruined my life. And Clark Kent told me, the last thing Clark Kent told me before he banned me for life was, you and your wife, I'm going to teach you two a lesson. And there was more going on. There was tattoos going on. There was a devil's, man, I can't make this up. When the movie comes out of this.
We were not in the right place.
When the movie comes out of this, you'd be like, this is bullshit. This never happened. Because there was people waiting in line to get tattoos, like the number of the beast, like the end of the world. And he was sitting in a throne laughing. And I go to him, I'll get a tattoo because I know what this is. This is Armageddon. This is the end of the world. I said to him, you're the Antichrist. Clearly, will you leave me alone and let me do business and have a life here? Because I have all my money in your establishment. If I get a tattoo with my wife, meaning I'll give you my loyalty. You don't have to worry about me stealing from you. Or he was jealous. He thought I was going to bring, I don't know. And he looked at me with all sincerity and he says, no, I'm not done with you yet. And then a lady walked up to me and touched me and says, come here. This is a true story. And she says, I don't know you, but I know you're Nico. My husband is the photographer on the premises here. He says, I have a gift and there's a spirit next to you. And he loves you. And she describes my friend, Augie De La Rosa, who passed away. And he's the reason I'm here.
He came to Florida, yeah.
And she says, he wants you to get out of here now. He says, you could come back, but you can't work here. This is not for you. So we left the next day. We left. And the next day we came to the villages. And then COVID happened that week.
Yeah.
She remembers. So the whole story takes over. So what I'm trying to say is the reason why this is important, and I know I drag on about these stories because they're very interesting and they're very fun, because it's true stories about how God's working. If you read the Bible, he's working in each chapter with each prophet, with each story. There's something happening that's a bigger picture. You got to look at it. And I'm sitting there in Sadurini, and it occurs to me that this guy, Kyle Yates, a.k.a. Clark Kent, he's going to teach me the lesson to make me get to the next level. And here's just so you understand, just by playing with them for 8 days, and I played with them every day. We played 6 days out of the 8 days. We had fun. I came back and I became such a better player, him and my wife, because you can't play with the best player in the world. And he was literally yelling at me after that. He was like, what are you doing? You want to be the best player in the world? You can't do that. What's wrong with you? And it was constructive criticism that I found fascinating and fun. And I loved it. And remember, I have a son who should be around his age. You understand?
Yes.
And I haven't seen my son.
What do you mean?
I'm 53 years old. He's 28. He could very easily be my son. Okay. Now, I don't look at him like my son because I look at him like someone that I can learn from, but I can teach him things or like I should have taught my son, like little things I should have told my son that were important. Like he was at a precipice. He's sitting there and he's like, I have to go after my career, which is going to make me money. And I said, me and my friend Patrick, we're like, no, you have to go after the girl because in the end, the girl is all that matters. You could have all the money in the world and it won't bring back the girl. Let me tell you something that they didn't tell me. If you let her go, she's going to find someone else and she's going to get pregnant. And once she gets pregnant, it's over. Every dream you had is shattered because she'll have someone else's kid and it'll never be right with you. And he was like mortified. And he's like, I know what I got to do. And I looked at him and I said, it's not about pickleball anymore. It was about him having a good time on our trip. So I looked at him with all sincerity, and Christy and I were like, we just want you guys to have fun. That trip was about them two having a romantic, and they were super sweet. They interacted with everybody. They had fun with everybody. But we have a new purpose. And he's part of our future. And that's God working again. And again, I say it again because there's so many shows like Ted Lasso out there that people want. They want to see a good ending. They want to see God. Don't you understand? They want God within.
Yes.
They want me to be real. I'm telling you that I'm prophesizing. I know it sounds crazy because my brother Louis, I got into a fight with my own brother. He swore at me. He told me awful things. He told me that it's not a big deal that I'm alive. It's not a big deal that I was molested because I got to live. You understand? When the devil is taking over people's voices, it is a war. What I'm saying about God is true. We are going to win Olympic gold medal. We are. And we're not terrible anymore. Two weeks ago, we were terrible. But something, when God says it's going to happen,
it's going to happen.
There's nothing anybody in this world could do to stop that. And the best part about it is Kyle told me, who was an atheist, he looked at me and said, you know what, Nico, if you win, first of all, I'm going to win. He's going to help me. He said, not only will he believe in Jesus, but he'll let me baptize him. And then that occurred to me. Well, then it was like the Holy Spirit came inside me and I literally jumped out of my chair in joy. And I was running around the pool at midnight. Like, yeah, like we won. And he's laughing and he goes, you still got to win. And I'm like, it's already done. And he's like, all right, then. He goes, I want a white robe in a size medium. So when I got back, I asked my director, there's a movie being done about us, and we could talk about that because he's cool with it, and he's doing a movie about it. We made the cut. He's picked five couples or five people.
Okay. Nico, hold that thought. Just hold that thought. I need to just go back a moment, okay? Because I just want to link something that you said last time.
Yeah.
Again, I want to just reiterate, and obviously we've got a playlist, so go back and you'll see there's proof of this. Remember last time we spoke, you said, you know what? What we need here is someone. Just we're putting it out there. We need someone to train us so we can win this gold medal. And I'm getting chills, right? Because you put it out there and you've got it. Okay. So that's the first
thing.
I love that you caught that. Yeah, because it occurred to me right now that God chose you to do these interviews. Because one day, what we're talking about, maybe nobody's watching now.
You have the record of.
But let me explain something to you. In 7 years, when we're in the Olympics in Los Angeles, and we're playing the next day for a gold medal, I'm telling you, it's in the bank. We're going to win because it's 7 years before. This isn't a joke. I sold my house in 24 hours. I was a drug addict. I worshipped idols, money, cocaine, drugs, sex, pornography. I never thought I would give up cigarettes and pornography ever. And I stone cold without a problem. Because I asked God to take care of it, and he did. And no one's asking God for anything anymore. And if you say Jesus, boy, you better run, because then you are a bigot and a hater and this. And I don't know what happened, but God's pissed off, not at humans, at his own people for destroying his name. If I worked in a car dealership and I was the general manager and I took over that dealership, and in my own dealership, they were calling me a thief and a bigot and all these things. My own people, how am I going to get customers when my own people are throwing out my customers. How dare you? Who told you that you are invited in my house? Just because you preach the word of God doesn't make you a person of God. We already know these evangelists, what they did. They destroyed the name. You got this guy that went out there and spent, he had 14 kids, 16 kids. And let's not go into that. And then this other guy.
Let's not go into that.
No, there's another guy, the Pat Robertson, who died with, he sold his company, his church company, for $1 billion. And then he was talking about how awful gay people are and black people. It's like, where does it say in the Bible, hate? Where did I miss that? Where did Jesus say that I need you to hate anybody? Paul doesn't say it in Acts. And if you really want to read Acts or Romans and talk to me about scripture, then tell me in the final, it says in Acts, in chapter 8, it says in the final days, there will be prophets prophesizing. Old men will be dreaming dreams. Just read it. If people just read the Bible, they'd see that what I'm saying is going to come true. Because Kyle Yates told me to my face, I'm going to baptize him. And then my Jewish multi-award-winning director told me to my face, Nico, I'm an atheist and a Jew, but if you win the Olympics, I will let you baptize me too. And he put that on record. And he's a 5-time Emmy Award winner, so it's not like he's going to bullshit me. Excuse my language. Okay? Then my father-in-law, who's an atheist, doesn't care. Just doesn't care about my God. Don't care. He says, you know what? I'm jumping on this one. If you win the Olympics, I'll get baptized too. So now it occurred to me, listen to the true story. My brother, Louie, told me to F off. He told me to F off. My brother, Andy, told me, nope, not interested. Nope, sorry, buddy. Like, literally made me feel like a complete asshole for asking. I asked him, if I win an Olympic gold medal, which is, by the way, impossible to everybody that I tell this to, surely you'll know God is real and he's working through me and you'll get baptized. You're like, nah, I don't care. They don't care. Some people just don't care. My mother-in-law says no, but listen.
But we're one step closer to getting citizenship. Yeah. And like all these crazy things happened in Greece.
Listen, let me tell you the miracles, okay? Things, so here's the new miracle. The miracle is that the Special Olympics team kids showed up and they love pickleball. But the miracle was that the father, Speedo's father, Lefteri, he got to play with Speedo. I don't think he's ever played a sport with Speedo. I don't think he's ever gotten on a court and competitively played anything with Speedo. Not that he's not bright. I think he's so intelligent and he's so far advanced for what he's doing because he was hitting backhands and stuff. I see this kid progressing. I see pickleball helping him further his cognitive things.
But this it was a family.
It was a family playing together.
They lit up. But like we also had another 10-year-old who's like the best little kid,
best tennis player in Greece.
And his dad was able to go out
and lit up.
So
lit
up. He's
a fireman. His dad's a fireman. Something changed. Something changed while we were there. Something was different. There was more people. There was more life. There was more light. More people were receptive to what we're doing. And then the mayor texts me back and says, I love what you're doing. It's fun. When you come back, make sure you tell my office so we could figure something out. So now the mayor's on board from Athens. So this is happening. The only thing that I can't do is I can't pay for this myself right now, because surely I would. If I had $100,000, I would have already given it to Greece for pickleball. For pickleball, to build courts. If you told me, Nico, if I gave you $100,000, what you'd do right now, I said the first thing I would do was go to Greece and build 6 pickleball courts somewhere where I could, in a food court in the middle. You have to make it appealing to them, because the it's working out here. What you wanted to do is you want to make a miniature village, okay? You want to make a place of food, and then that supports the pickleball. Okay, so you could do free pickleball. They eat and drink there. They support the surface and everything there. And then the kids who work there are special need kids and abuse kids who need jobs. Gay kids who can't get hired anywhere else. Nobody minds anybody when you're having fun. Here's where you don't, when you're at a soccer game and your team is in the championship team and they're winning 3-0 and a gay guy serves you food, you don't care because your team is winning 3-0. When you're losing in life and your wife hasn't had sex with you in 3 years and you eat all the time and you're depressed and nothing makes sense because you don't pray to God anymore because you all you do is worship money. All you do is you worship for more money so you can get this great life you think money's going to bring you. You find yourself depressed and angry all the time, always continually bitter, swearing all the time. My brothers swear all the time. F this and F this and F that. It's like out of control. Not that they're bad people. They're wonderful people. My family's good. Every person's good, but they lose control swearing. And it's not just them. We go on the trips and we talk to people and people are like, they feel like foul being a, how do you say it? Like we try not to swear ever because you're inviting negativity in. If you wake up every morning with positivity and like every morning now I wake up with, thank you. I call it an attitude of gratitude. All right. I wake up every morning and say, thank you for getting me out of Chicago from that job, from being in the car business, from being 70 hours a week, from not seeing my wife. Thank you for taking away the 3 packs of cigarettes I smoke. Thank you for taking away the pornography from my life. And it was controlling me and it was keeping me down and it was giving me negative thoughts. Thank you for cleaning up my soul and making me feel good about people and positive about life. And thank you for letting me wanting to be alive again. Cause I used to hate life. I used to be like, why am I still here? Why haven't you killed me yet? And this is recent. This is still while I had God. I was like, why have you not taken me? Why am I still here? Now I'm like, I know my purpose in life is to help other people. I know I have a long, fulfilling, fruitful life. I know it's going to be fabulous. It's just going to get better and better and better from the point that I said, no more negativity. And it started with pickleball. I was watching us play. We're playing negative. It's hard because you're playing your best and other people are just, and then you see it. It's not about you. It's not about the game. It's about how you react to things that happen to you. Mm-hmm. And once you realize it's about how you react to everything, even tragedy, if tragedy befalls you, the creator knew it was coming. He did it for a purpose. And I know it sucks to go through it because we've all gone through it, but screaming and yelling is only going to make it worse and put you at the back of the line. Taking it on the chin and saying, okay, what do we do to get out of this? Is going to put you at the front line. And that's what separates billionaires and great men from children and babies and people that are home right now eating Twizzlers and ice cream and watching porn on their phone and cheating on their wives and rooting for soccer matches and watching Stanley Cup on the plane and getting on their airplane because they got money to go watch the Stanley Cup instead of taking their kids to church or synagogue or figuring out what's really important in life. But if God woke us all up at the same time, we'd all, it's called heaven, and that's not happening right now. So,
And we'd probably, sorry, Nico, we'd probably get bored anyway because, you know, we're made to challenge ourselves. But the exciting
thing. But that's the thing. You when you're ready to get, I hear you.
That's so true.
She's true.
That's, yes. I noticed with we have a new addition, you know, our little dog, Izzy. Remember, we lost our other dog, Taco. In February. So Izzy, her whole life has changed. Like she sleeps in the middle of the head of the bed and she like gets to go on the couch now.
Oh, look at her.
And just, she gets people food. But I watch her and it's like, now she gets a little snippy with me sometimes and you go, you know what? You forgot what that's what. So I think we all have to, you know, you have to be grateful each and every day and
when
continue
you lose,
to
like we read today.
Sorry, Nico, just 1 minute. I just want to just the nice thing about this is that you are like you're becoming like the model, right? So people can look up to you and see what is possible. And going back to those people that sit and eat and, you know, drink or whatever they do, you know, because there's so much pain within you. If you if you stay if you're in a bad relationship, it's hard. So it's easier to eat.
But you understand. And try it's not your fault.
And down, yes, but you know what? Some people, it's easier for them to eat instead of looking around and saying, well, what am I going to do about this? Let me stop eating and change the situation. Because you don't have to stay within a bad relationship, just to say. And you don't have to behave badly. It's up to you, the way you live your life.
Sure. Right?
Well, that's where we've seen with pickleball, because with all of those kind of things, that if somebody is by themselves, pickleball is such a wonderful
It's easy to fall in these traps.
And it can bring so many people different joy from all
When I was working 60 hours a week, and when I had my previous relationship, and I was in my marriage before, and when you're young, you work a lot, you think these are important things, and it's easy to fall in these traps. What people need is inspiration and stories, real life stories of real people that did something. And dreaming does come true, and praying does work, and God is real, and then positivity works, okay? What I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, God is real, and he wants us to be happy, not miserable. He doesn't want you to say, oh, my God, my pastor had a great example the other day. He quit believing in the God that was evil and said, if you don't do it this way, I'm going to crush you, because we can't live like that. And I don't know why we were living like that. Truly, I was like, oh my God, if I do this, and if I go to that nightclub, and if I did that stuff with that guy, because I remember when growing up and having these thoughts, and people, that's why people sin, because sex. I got news for you why 50% of the people leave the church, because they think they might be gay. So right off the bat, they got to go, or they leave because they feel like they can't stay there and have a conscience and try to be sexual or try to find love. It's not even about sex. I was just trying to find love, and sex just got in the way. Everybody's got a bad rap here. I think life, you just have to relax and understand that positivity works, and there is good guys, and there are people that do make it. And you're right. I want to be that person. I want to be the guy who does make it, but it's hard work. It starts at 4 o'clock in the morning. You don't crawl out of bed and say, I'm going to be a better person. You don't. You wake up with a plan. If you were, and here's the best part about life. Pretend that every day you are trying to win a Super Bowl championship for your team, or you're trying to win an Oscar for your movie. If you take the same attitude that you would for your best date or your best first day on the job, every day of your life, you would have no problem with yourself and with God. That's a true story. But we keep letting ourselves down. And then we let ourselves off the hook. I had a cousin of mine. He's young. He's in his 20s, and he lives in Nashville. And he wrote on Facebook the other day, I'm going to stop my workout. There's no shame in giving up. I'm not stopping. I'm just going to continue some other time. And I went, no, don't quit. Why are you going to quit? Do half the workout. Just don't get out of bed and do nothing. You can't get out of bed and do it and then one day say, I'm done. I don't understand that concept. That here's what happens. We get our reward. We work hard. Like Jordan worked really hard for 6 championships. And he worked really hard. Then he got his reward. He ate. And now it shows that he's eating and drinking. There's no disrespect for enjoying your spoils. But you're not. You can't serve 2 masters. You can't wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go crush it and then party all night and booze around and drive fancy cars and hang out with the girls and be on TV. You can't do both. You have to choose what life you want. And the other life, it's all bullshit. The nightlife, the fake news, the fake TV, the cars, it's all headaches and bullshit. But I am speaking from 53 years of experience, and God blessed me with not once, but twice, with an enormous amount of money that I didn't need, but I could have done a lot better with it. And it wasn't that much money, but it was enough to change my life at least, or change. If I had that money now, I can go to Greece and do something spectacular for people and still live in Florida and still do my what I do every day. The whole purpose is God has a plan. No one is talking about it unless your name is Ted Lasso and you're a fake character on HBO and people absolutely love you. Like they write him letters how great he is. And it's a fake character. Here, you know, I'm not trying to be a movie star or an actor. My family thinks I'm crazy. I told my mother that I would baptize her, and she literally, it was violent how she was acting to me, how angry she was with me that I asked her that I would baptize her. This is a woman who saw me so drugged out of my mind in her bedroom that I was unconscious, that they had to call an ambulance over, and they had to take my corpse off their body and put me in a hotel and stick tubes inside me because I overdosed in her room. And I'm telling her that God has taken me from that life of where I wanted to die with enough drugs to never wake me up again. Did the demon come out on that to tell you how much I wanted to die? And then I have this life now of where I feel this presence of God. He's telling me to talk and to preach. He's telling me preach. No one else is preaching. No, nobody else. I'm waiting. I'm listening. I'm on Facebook and I listen. I'm on TV and I listen. I'm waiting for someone to say, God told me to tell the world just to love each other. That's it. Believe in Jesus and love each other and believe in him above all else. Believe in God. He's pissed. Because you know why he chose me? I'll tell you why he chose me. Forget that I was baptized by the guy who touched me, who was the devil and had sex with me and molested me. Forget that. He chose me because my son told me, I don't want to ever talk to you again, Nick, and I don't know you anymore, father. He told me that I'm no longer his father. And even though I have no relationship with him since 4 years old, it torched me. Torched. I went through hell for that kid to have him. I spent all my money to have in vitro. We did 4 years of hell to have that kid. It wasn't like, oh, let's have sex. And there he came and oops, sorry, it didn't work out. His mom. I was with his mom since we were 14 years old up until the time I was 35. Entire lifetime. I gave all my money in the divorce to his mom to make sure that she would be taken care of. And the one thing I did not want to hear ever was, I disown you, Father. And God is sitting here in a world where you have toilets and air conditioning, and you have the balls to sit on the couch and say, look, oh God, and Jesus never existed, even though the year 2023 AD, adiem Dios, after death, okay? We actually live in the date from the Christ born, you understand? Before and after Christ. And people are so uneducated in this world, much less America. Not their fault, that they don't even know Jesus Christ is a real person. They think it's fake. They think Jesus didn't even exist. Forget, do you think he was God or did he die for our sins? And did he do nothing but commit miracles and then literally told everybody to turn your cheek when your enemy strikes you? This is all recorded in Google. You can Google searches, but no one wants to Google it. They just want to believe that he hates gay people, and let's go with that. And if you're a trans person, because now the Dodgers had the trans people out there, it was a group of people that dress up as nuns. And so what? So what did they dress up as nuns? So what? So what? They're cross-dressers. You pissed them off. 50 years ago, you were murdering them in the streets. In 1980, I remember being alive in 1980. I was 11 years old, okay? And I remember hearing about gay people getting the shit kicked out of them downtown. I remember that. I've seen it on the news. No one cared. So now you're telling me that they're supposed to care about God, the same God who beat the shit out of them in the 70s and 80s and told them they can't get married, and they God hates them. Why on earth would they come back to God now?
Sorry, Nico, I'm just going to stop you.
Yeah, sorry.
Because you're going on a rant. Just 1 minute, okay?
Okay.
Just 1 minute. What I'm saying is, I think we've got everything a bit mixed up because, you know, like if you go back to, and I'm just going to talk about this, then I think we need to steer off this path, right?
Okay.
Go back to meaning and purpose. I want to speak to Christy, but I just want to say one thing before. is that I think with religion, and this is a contentious subject that I'm going to say here, with religion, it's always about fear. Like you've always been afraid. Like, what will you do? Like you said earlier about if you do something wrong, God will punish you. But that's not true. For me, God is love, right?
Yes.
And we need to love each other and realize that it doesn't matter what color skin you are. If you're gay, trans, black, white, Greek, Italian, who cares? At the end of the day, we are all made in God's image. And we need to understand that and love each other for that. And then, so now... I think we'll need leave it at that because
leave it at that. That's perfectly said.
I just want to go. I just want to go to something that Christy said earlier was about meaning and purpose, about how once you guys found your meaning and purpose in pickleball, everything changed. And I think that's where you directing people also in Greece, like. Hope, you know, those people that are sitting on the couch eating because they're trying to eat away their sorrows or because they don't know how to change their lives. Sure. Perhaps with that one thing that they realize that they can play with their children, pickleball, and they realize that they can have a meaning, even if it is just playing pickleball once a week, I think that just changes everything.
Yeah,
so, it does. We're living proof, that's all. Yeah. We're the people we're talking
it's
about.
Easy,
we're
it's
the people from the couch.
Start, yeah.
We are. When I say people on the couch eating and drinking, that was me.
Yes.
I'm talking about me from the years 24 years old when I was married to 50 when I came out to Florida. And I said, wow, there's a whole other life out here of, you know, trying to be healthy. But then I realized it's a lie. You should be healthy every day because it's why not? Why not 25 push-ups every morning? You owe it to yourself. You don't owe it to me. Your future self will be like, thank you.
Yes.
Your future 80-year-old self will, if you start doing 25 push-ups, you, tomorrow, I know they're hard, but if you try like 5, and then you get to 6, and then you get to 10.
Yes, you have
just,
to start somewhere.
If you start somewhere, just make it a point to try to get to 25, and then when you get to 25, you're like, well, let me do 26. And every day, just do as much as you can from today. Not from tomorrow. It starts today. Make an appointment with yourself. Like you're the CEO of your life. And the CEO tells you, where do you see yourself 30 years from now? And you're like, in a grave, I'll be dead. Well, that's not going to happen. You're stuck. You're going to be alive. Put it in your head that you are going to be here till 85, no matter what happens. And if you put it in your head like, shit, I'm stuck here till 85. And then you're like, uh-oh. What am I going to do when I'm 75? I better change now.
Yeah.
And now is very simple because I got 75-year-old people that want to change now, and it's too late. Because
well, it's
when
never
you're
too late.
Well, it's never too late, but
it's never like, too late. It's never too
when
late.
His knees are, but his knees are shot. He's got he's physically he has to really do a lot of work. He needs to lose 25 pounds, and before
it's okay.
that,
it's a good
like what I'm trying to say for you, make it a point tomorrow morning. And I did this with Dasos in Greece, the same thing, because I challenged him. He told me he had health problems. He was with COVID, and that's why he found us, because he had this near-death experience, which I know he died. Let's not get into that. And I said, well, what are you going to do to change that? When are you going to tell your kids you love them? Because I wish I could tell my kids I love them. So he went home that night, and he told his kids he loved them. And his kids are like, are you dying? And he's laughing. Yeah. He's like, no. He goes, I don't think I ever said that. And they go, we love you too. And he had this moment where it's like, thank you. That was a good moment, he goes. I created a moment for him where his whole family said they love each other and they're going to remember that. And you don't realize how you could do that for 30 years and not say that. 5 years can go by. And some people have no problem saying that. But health-wise, this is super important. And I told them, what are you going to do to be there for your children health-wise? Because if you keep, he's 50 years old. He's about 25, 30 pounds overweight, 20 pounds. Let's just say 20. Okay. Not obese, but he's to the point where if he ran for 30 seconds, he'd be gassed.
Yeah.
30 seconds hard. You'd be like, ugh. And that's not healthy. So I said, what are you going to do to change that? So I gave him a regimen to do, not because he loves me, because he loves his children, because they're going to have to take care of him at 75. If you put it in your head, he goes, oh, I'll be dead. I'm like, what if you're not dead? What if you're a pain in the ass, 75-year-old Greek man in a wheelchair, shitting and pissing on yourself? That's not fair to them. And he's like, ah, shit. That's right. Because no one ever puts themselves in a position where you're shitting on yourself and your children have to pick that up. Don't put them in that position. You understand?
Yes.
Don't go to people like, oh, pray to God for health. No. Pray to God for happiness. Because yes. That's what he gave you. He gave you peace. He said, peace, I give you. Work on yourselves. It's not hard. It's not easy either, though, because Christy and I started fasting. What do they call it?
Intermittent fasting. Yes.
We don't eat after 2 p.m. We start eating it. We have breakfast in the morning, and then we eat from 1 to 2 p.m. And we have our lunch and a chocolate bar or some snack. And it's been a few days. It's hard. It's hard because – and I'm not hungry, but the calling comes at 6 o'clock. It's like cereal. Cereal. Chocolate, cereal. You know, you watch a TV commercial and then you see the commercial. And I've had.
Okay, well, it looks like we lost Nico and Christy. So we will possibly end this right now. This has been a very exciting episode, as you can see, how the synchronicities of life just come together and just form the life you want. So go out and wish and find the life you want. Oh, Krista and Nico and Christy are back. So that's
stop right. For a minute.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Well, I don't know what happened there.
That's all right.
But welcome back.
Thanks. No worries. So, well, I think that's my call to stop talking. Sure.
So I just want to go into intermittent fasting quickly and say that it's amazing what a difference it makes, because for me, I'm not so extreme. Like, I finish eating at 6 p.m., right?
Yeah, that's what I was doing before. Yeah.
Because 2 p.m. for me is way too early. So
yeah,
6 p.m. I cut off. And then, you know, like, I'll have water or whatever during the night. And then possibly, and then start eating. I try and push it till about 7.
Yes.
7, 8 in the morning. And it's the most amazing thing, because I feel so energized and so exciting because it's like, you know, we eat, especially late at night when it's like that full meal. Like we used to have our big meal at night. I mean, I remember growing up. And
that's so true.
That's crazy? Really great.
We used to eat late night.
Yeah.
And of course you have to do I walk every day. I walk and I do my yoga. And again, it makes you know.
You have to be active. At least you're active. You're doing a good thing.
That's great. That's good.
You're right by being active. And like I said, the strength part, when I say push-ups, it's always for strength, because your own body strength is very important for you to be able to get up on.
Yes.
And if you could do 25 push-ups every single day, and 25 push-ups is, if you have to start out on your knees, I stress this because it should be in everyone's Bible in your own head. Why I wasn't doing this, because it's amazing just the sheer things that you could do. I mean, it stretches everything out. It gives you, it cracks your back, it aligns you. I go to the doctor now and he's like, your lungs are perfectly clear. I smoke 2 packs a day for 30 years. And my doctors are like, your lungs are perfect.
Yes.
Because running for 3 years will do that. Your body will. I don't know why they don't tell anybody. But I'm telling you, your body will regenerate. If you continuously work out every day, you will not die. You will only get better.
Yes.
Brad Pitt is living proof. If you want the proof, look at actors who do this for a living. They get older and better, not worse.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is. And that's what I believe. And I just want to ask you something. We were talking before you disappeared about saying I love you. So I'm going to ask you a personal question here. Nico?
Sure.
Do you say I love you to Christy every day?
Oh, yeah.
Because we hug a lot.
We do.
So,
that.
Like, we're very good. I mean, we spend our entire day together.
We
hug before we go out on the pickleball court, hug and pray. But yeah, we tell each other we love each other several times a day.
The concept.
And physical contact. It's nice to get a hug.
I don't understand the concept of guys' night out or girls' night out. I understand when I was married in a relationship, I'm going to piss off a lot of people if they ever, you know, whatever. But when I wanted to have guys' night out, it was because there was a reason, because I didn't want to be with my wife.
Yeah.
And when I wanted a girls' night out, when they wanted a girls' night out, it was because I was being someone that I understood why. So I'm not stupid. I'm not saying that that's why, but people that are married, 2-3 kids, they need a night away from all that. Yeah, that makes sense. And if your husband can't do that for you and take you out, then I'd understand going out with your friends. But we are very fortunate. We are on top of each other all day long. I know how things work. You can't have it all. That's why God put us together with children from different people. If we had children together, our relationship would be different because we would love that child just a little bit more than we love each other. It's the way it works.
Well, it's
the way it works.
It's
the way it works.
It's great that you found each other later on in life. And it's
important
for people to know that you can find that love later on. Because, you know, it's like some people think, I'm older now. I'm not going to find the love of my life anymore or whatever it is.
They're
so that's
court,
a beautiful example as well. And again, like you guys are looking so great together.
It was good. I tell people if you want to find love, you should start playing pickleball, and you'll probably find the love of your life there.
We see a lot of people get into relationships, you know,
from pickleball. Yeah, because it makes sense. You're doing it all day long. You love doing it, and it's something that you love doing together. Yeah. That's what you got to find. For us, we love the bad things together. And we turned that into the positive. We turned our life from doing, they'll never let you, just you have to understand that. I tell this Christy today, I did drugs we were in a lifestyle, we were open with sex, and they'll never let you forget that. But meanwhile, there's someone who's taking advantage of food and alcohol and not having sex with their wife at all, and probably masturbating continuously on pornography, and people have a different view because if you are honest with that scares them too. Honesty scares people because it makes them feel like they have to be honest, and they're not ready to be honest. People are afraid of God because they're not ready to be honest with themselves. I've heard that from people, like, I'm not ready to be a saint yet, but I want to be a saint. Just not yet. And my friend used to say that, Augie. He's like, you won't make a saint out of me yet. Because I kept telling him, man, you're like a saint. You give food away to people. He always had money in his pocket. Not money. He always had a $5 gift card for Subway. So when he saw someone starving on the street, the guy was, hey, man, you got any money? He's like, I got better. I got $5 gift card for Subway. If you're really hungry, you can get food. And it's like, oh, my God. And then he would feed people. And I would be like, yours. And he's like, I'm not a saint, though, because he didn't want to stop drinking and partying and clubbing till 7 in the morning. That's, you know, the stuff that killed him.
It's interesting.
You live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's the way it works. You get up at 4 in the morning and you work hard and God rewards you with an Olympic gold medal. You go to sleep at 7 in the morning or 10 in the morning. You drink all day. You're going to get rewarded with a divorce, a bad reputation. No one's going to trust you. You're going to be searching for a long, long time for love and for redemption. But that's the road I'm on. I'm on the road of redemption because I chose the first life. But that's okay because I have a purpose in life. And I know my purpose is to get other people who are like me, who are lost, who are out, who are down, who are out, who don't believe in God anymore, who think that if there is a God, that surely he's a joke and doesn't believe in them. All of it's a lie. All of it's a lie from the devil. You have a purpose. You do mean something. You don't even know how valuable you are because somebody you met 20 years ago changed their life because of you. And someone you'll meet 20 years from now will change their life because of you. You just don't know it yet.
Yes.
And you don't know how valuable you are till you get in that person's life. Because Christy is the most valuable person in my life. And I didn't know that 20 years ago. And if I would have killed myself 20 years ago, like I thought I'm doing, because I remember wanting to kill myself. I remember it. I remember the voices telling me to do it. My ex-wife was really upset with me and mean with me. I didn't know I was losing all my money. I was very fortunate to get out of it because my faith, because I did have God at the end in the darkness, he stuck with me and he told me, wait, there's better. And I waited and I'm still not out of the woods yet. We have a while to go, but our future looks so bright that I need sunglasses. I got to go get sunglasses right now.
I love that. That's a perfect way to end this episode.
Yeah. But
before I end the episode, I want to just ask you, Christy and Nico, you were talking about you wanted to, do you have some place where people can donate if they want to donate towards your cause to build pickleball courts or whatever?
I'll send you my GoFundMe link if you want to display
yes,
it.
Yes.
I'll send you because it's a GoFundMe for Agape Pickleball Project. And it's basically where we need funds because we have Pickleball Day in Greece, September 16th, a Saturday, where we are going to take over Plaka Square in Greece, a square, and we're going to give away paddles and gifts to people and promote pickleball
set up a net and
kick the ball around. And
that's going to be one thing. Much fun.
And then in May of 2024, I have the pro athlete coming with me, and we're doing a huge event for the Special Olympics, and that will be, we'll have a lot more information on that because it's next year. But the big event for this year is September 16th in Athens. So I do need funds. I'm not going to lie. My wife and I, we put a $10,000 GoFundMe out there, and we've raised $350 so far. I know people are hesitant to give money because of my reputation in the past or whatever I was, and I understand that. But it's for a really good cause, and the money does go 100% nonprofit to pickleball paddles, getting pickleball established as a federation in Greece, which we already did, by the way. So that's good happen already.
Yes,
we raised $2,000 and we did that. We paid for that. That's done. Now, do we need more funds? Yes. We do need to throw a party for the Greek people. But the mayor's involved now of Athens, the mayor. So we'll see where it goes. Listen, I know God's going to take care of it and the money's going to come. As I speak to you right now, I have $350 in that account. I tell you one day, I prophesize that one day there'll be $350,000 in that account. I'm telling you, I know there will be because I know we're with God. We've only been with God for about a year and a half from November of 2022. That's it. That's when I went to church and I gave myself up to Jesus because I've already believed in God before that, but I didn't read the Bible. I didn't do any of that. And I know that makes no sense to people. But really, when the magic started happening, if you want magic to happen, you believe in God. Christy and I read the Bible together.
We listened.
We listened to it on Halo. And even though there was some parts that you might get, like, okay, where it says the homosexual parts, because it was a big deal for me to listen to that. But then when I put it in perspective of what the real root of the word was, it's not that. And there's more storyline there. We enjoyed it. And what can I tell you? God has shined his grace on us since us reading the Bible. He appreciates it. All I can tell you is God is real. If you pretend or don't pretend, if you just put it in your head that God is real, if he is, there is a creator, because nothing makes sense. I've lived 53 years. I have had money. I was rich. I've had cars. I've done everything that people want to do. I'm telling you all the things that you think you want. He puts it in perspective. If you put it that he's real, why wouldn't he be able to do what you want him to do as long as you follow the rules? So Christy and I decided to let's follow the rules and put it on him. Challenge my creator to do what he said. if he promised me I'm going to win an Olympic gold medal, then what do I have to do to win it? Well, that means be in shape, train every day, follow the letter of the law. In other words, be a good person. Don't get angry. Don't be too prideful. Don't worry about winning. Let it come to you. All the good stuff. It's all working. It's all working. So in so, 4 years, we're there. Okay. Sorry.
She wants me to tighten it up.
I got to tighten it up.
So that's awesome. Thank you, Krista and Nico. We're going to have all the details of the GoFundMe account in the description box. I'll pin it as well in the comments so that you can find it. And let's make this happen. And let's just support Krista and Nico to change the world.
We appreciate you.
I appreciate it.
With pickleball. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here.
It's thank
so
you for your time and for listening.
So excited to hear all these things that you've been doing.
Yes.
May you have many, many blessings, and may everything just work out perfectly as it is.
Thank you. You too. I wish all the best for you. I see great things happening down the line.
Thank you. It always does.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nico. Bye, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.